She's back! Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Survival Circle. An earful of liberty.
What is it the gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of pens and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God!
Listen to Kit Lang on the Patrick Henry Society every Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Survival Circle Network.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death!
Never sounded so good.
Back up on an old dirt road, next to a swamp full of toads, was a slanted wood shack with three little kids and a mama.
All right, gather around, drag up a stool. It's time for Liberty Lounge. 2 full hours of classic country music with a splash of news thrown in for good measure. Let's take a break from the current trials and tribulations and try to start our weekend out on a lighter note. Liberty Lounge starts right now.
Well, now, since it's Friday, and just to show my appreciation, we'll knock off now and take the next 2 days off. How's that?
Do that again. You are so stupid.
That's right.
They're all gonna laugh at you.
That's right.
There is nothing wrong with your radio.
That's right.
This is crazy. What's going on here?
I don't know. I love you.
$100 smoking in my billfold. I know I ought to save it, but it's burning.
Yay!
Bravo,
let's go!
I'll be hurting with my head in a vice. Tuesday, I'll be wondering
to do it.
So in my best kindergarten voice, I said,
the answer is
Lucy Fittipaldi.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Thank you very much. Wow, what a welcome I get on Fridays. If they knew I was going to be here for 3 full hours, they may not be quite so happy. It is Friday. It's May 1st already, 1st of May. Amy has got some grandkid commitments we got to take care of, so she's doing that and asked me if I would be so kind as to fill in for her tonight. So, like I say, good, bad, or indifferent, you're stuck with me for the next 3 hours. So we've got, I'm going to do some typical thing in Amy fashion, some of the things that she does there, and we'll just kind of move right into Liberty Lounge. And we're gonna bounce in and out between the music. We've got a few commentaries and news things we're going to have to talk about a little bit. I don't want to put it off till Monday. So there you have it. That's what we're going to do. Yeah, let me check my chat room here before we get going. See, 45 by 4. Seems like I've seen that in here before, and I'm not sure who it is or where they came from or what they're doing here, but I'm sure glad they showed up anyway. A lot of the regulars come in. A lot of these folks here are pretty new, but they're getting to be pretty cotton-picking regulars, so that's good. We got some anonymous in there. And there's 1, 2, 3, there's 4, 5, 6 of them here that are relatively new, but I'm starting to see them every day, so that's great. And Amy appreciates it. She hates to miss her show, but you know, she stays so cotton picking busy all the time. I don't even get to see her very often, so it would wear her out tonight to have to do this. So I said I would fill in for her. So, like it or not, here we are. So, let's do what she would normally do at this time of day. She's got some, I'm not going to have the Ripley's Believe It or Not and all that, but we will do this. If today is your birthday, happy birthday. You're sharing it with a lot of good people today. Birthday segment's probably going to be a little bit longer than normal because I was going down through the list. And, you know, I try to encourage Amy to pick the ones that, you know, people have heard of a little bit. And I try not to deviate from that. But, wow, there was a bunch of them in there that everybody's heard of. So we've got a few interesting birthdays to do. So let me bring it up here, since I'm asleep, not doing my job. The first one, Frontier Gal, back in 1852 on this day she was born, and that would be Calamity Jane. Very, very colorful history behind Calamity Jane. And 1916, Glenn Ford, he was born in Quebec, Canada. But man, what an awesome actor Glenn Ford is. I don't know anything about his political background, and I probably don't want to. Seems like everybody nowadays, I say, well, how good a singer they are, how great an actor they are, and they wound up being some anti-gun liberal puke. So I don't even want to know about Glenn Ford right now. I really like some of his movies. I remember Cades County, Midway, what was some of the others that played? He played in, I think he was in McKenna's Gold. Can't remember right offhand, but he's been in a lot of good movies. Mostly Westerns. He's been in a couple of military shows and a couple of detective type cop and robber shows, but primarily it's been westerns or westerns. 1928, May the 1st of 1928. Some of you may remember this name, Skeeter Skelton. Charles A. Skeeter Skelton was born on this day in 1928. For those of you that are not gun folks, that may not mean a thing to you. And if you're a younger gun folks, it probably still doesn't mean a thing to you. But if you have the opportunity, Skeeter Skelton was one of the absolute greatest gun riders in history, as far as I'm concerned. He was a great rider. He was a law enforcement officer. He was born in Deaf Smith County, Texas. And he was a sheriff of Deaf Smith County, Texas for a while. Quite a while, actually. And he wrote for Guns and Ammo for a long time. And he had some featured articles. And then he got his own little show. And in the back part of Guns and Ammo, for years, and I don't remember what the name of the, what it was, what it featured, Skeeter's something, I don't remember, but it was in there every month, and what a great, great writer he was, great stories, and I would encourage you, even if you're not a gun person, but certainly if you're a gun person, he had a lot of stories that weren't related, well, they were related to guns somehow, but some of them were very strictly gun dedicated, and some of them just had some gun stuff, you know, that was incidental to the story. But I would sure encourage you to look him up. He is an outstanding writer. Very interesting, very colorful stories, and they just don't make them like him anymore. 1918, some of you might remember the Jack Parr show. Jack Parr was born on this day. He died in 2004. He was born on this day in 1918. And now then, this is, I'm on the wrong screen here. Let me get over here where I'm supposed to be. There we go. One of my very, very favorites on this day in 19 something. Why did I lose it? There we go. 1929 it was, and that would be Sonny James.
You're the only world I know. You're the one I can't let go. You're my laughter and my tears. And I love you all my years. You're the beating of my heart. You're my thoughts when we're apart. You're the one I can't let go. You're the only world I
Do you blame me for playing that one all the way out? I love Sonny James. I couldn't bring myself to shut that one down. All right, let's look and see who we got after Sonny James. 1939. Amy loves Judy Collins.
Isn't it rich? Are we a pair? Me here at last on the ground, you in midair.
Sorry, but I'm not quite the fan that Amy is of Judy Collins, but there it is anyway. And dogs are barking. I may have to go check on things in a minute. 1944, Rita Coolidge.
Your love is lifting me higher than I've ever been lifted before.
She was okay. I wasn't a real huge fan. She had a few songs that I liked pretty good. And if I could keep everything pulled up here. 1946, Jerry Weiss. I'll bet you if you asked Doc, he'd know who Jerry Weiss was. He was with Blood, Sweat, and Tears, born in New York City, New York, on this day in 1944. And this one, I have to, on the one hand, I'm a fan. On the other hand, I wouldn't pee on him if he was on fire. And that is Tim McGraw. He's a turncoat, and if I can find his music that I don't have to buy, I won't ever spend another penny on him. I won't go to a concert. I won't go to his, I won't do anything that benefits him whatsoever. But I can't take it away from him. He is, He's a good entertainer, no doubt about it.
Roll, won't you come roll with me so fast, full speed, girl, wherever sweet time takes us. Bring me down this old road. Only God knows where we'll go. Don't matter long as I've got your love. I don't ever wanna wait.
He's got so many good songs. I just hated to learn that he was a turncoat. I guess worse things have happened. Not sure what they are right off the top of my head, but it's bound to have been something. And, okay, that's all the birthdays. A lot of music birthdays I had to jump in there, put in there for you. And history stuff, 1785, the King of Hawaii established what is now what was then the Kingdom of Hawaii. And that's on one of our trivia things that we do. What state was once a kingdom? Well, that was Hawaii. 1883, Buffalo Bill Cody put on his first Wild West show. And I'll encourage you guys, if you have the time and the funds and you like to go see neat things, wow, there's not a whole lot of things neater than Cody, Wyoming. What a neat little town. Every single night of the year, They have, I'm not sure it's all year. Matter of fact, I'm sure it's not. But through the summer, from one date to another, it's, 3 months or so. Every night, they have a rodeo. I mean a full-fledged, honest-to-goodness, real cotton-picking rodeo. It ain't just a bunch of guys go out there and ride a few broncs and rope a couple of calves and keep in practice. It is a real sponsored radio rodeo that people come from miles around to both perform in and watch. They have the, we talked about the Irma Hotel several times, with the big, cherry wood bar and everything. We talked about that quite a bit here a month or so ago on Amy's show. They have Yellowstone's only, I don't remember, it seems like it's only like 50 miles to the west of Cody. You have the Hot Springs in Thermopolis, Wyoming, which is 60 miles or so south. There's all kinds of museums and stuff in that area. If you get a chance, Cody is a neat, neat place to go check out. 1908. Now, folks, let me tell you, I've been in Houston and Beaumont and, down in Mississippi, Alabama. I've seen it rain 3 inches an hour several times. And I want you to know, 3 inches an hour is an honest to goodness rainstorm. It's not, it's nothing to laugh at. You can run hard as you can go for, and I've done this in Beaumont one time. I pulled up to the Dixie Drive Ice House, a little beer joint I used to go to all the time, and it was just absolutely freaking pouring out there. And that was back in my smoking days, and I had a fairly new pack of Camels in my shirt pocket, and I sat there and waited a little bit, and it wouldn't slack off, and I bailed out of that truck and ran just as hard as I could go to the front door. Couldn't have been 25 feet, and by the time I got in the door, there wasn't a cigarette in that pack that was smokable. It was unbelievable. It was like running through a wall of water. Where am I going with this little story? Well, 3 inches an hour is nothing. In 1908, the world's most intense rainstorm. It wasn't even a storm. It was a shower. Folks, in 3 minutes, in Portobello, Panama, it rained 2.47 inches. 2.5 inches in 3 minutes. I wonder how many people drowned. That would be like opening up an invisible door with an invisible barrier holding back a lake and walking through it. 2.5 inches in 3 minutes. Unbelievable. In 1928, speaking of dying in a rainstorm, this is vaguely related. 6 children died, 10 injured by hailstones in Klausenburg, Romania. I saw, where was it here? Just, we were watching on TV just a few days ago that there was some baseball size hailstones somewhere. I don't remember where it was at. 3 children killed, 10 injured by hailstones, Klausenburg, Romania. 1935, Boulder Dam was completed. If you're coming from the south or the east somewhere and you decide to go to Cody, try to detour around a little bit if you can and go across Boulder Dam. That is like so many other dams, Hoover Dam and Boulder Dam is an engineering marvel. What a neat, neat place that is. It's a, it's not nearly the biggest or the most, awesome, but when you look at how it's built and the canyon that it's in and everything, you gotta understand that this was a project. That was probably quite a deal that they undertook there. In 1948, this was in Idaho. There was a guy named Glenn Taylor. He was a senator. Oh, I'm sorry. He was an Idaho senator, but this was not in Idaho. He was from Idaho. he was arrested in Birmingham, Alabama, for trying to enter a meeting through a door marked for Negroes. True story, 1948. There was, things were pretty well defined out there at that time. They had separate water fountains, separate bathrooms, separate entrance doors. Pretty amazing that people can have that kind of ignorance. Now, I wouldn't even say hate. I would just say ignorance, at least in some cases. And in 1971, the Rolling Stones released this hit. All right, there you go. I wasn't even going to take a break tonight, but, you know, I've got to. The dog keeps barking a little bit, and I think there's something out there that needs my immediate attention. So if I get back, I'm going to play kind of a long break here. If I get back before it's over, fine. If I don't, well, that's okay, too, because it's a good break. See you in a few minutes.
Now, war is coming between light and darkness. Will you bow down to the darkness? Or will you fight?
She's back! Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Survival Circle.
Command. Or from Party Leader Creedy. Or from the High Chancellor.
Why are you doing this?
Because he was right.
About what?
That this country needs more than a building right now. It needs hope.
Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Inevitable.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Is it common sense to allow your activist judges to ignore your history, your culture, your Declaration of Independence, and every other founding document to remove God from public life? And endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, their creator, not the ACLU, not the will of the atheist, or the anti-Americans that sit on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. Separation of church and state, yes. Separation of God from public life, never intended by your founding fathers. Is it common sense that the very political party who claims to be the party of the people and shouts, "We will bring change," consistently stops all common sense legislation to secure your borders, establish workplace verification, and stop taxpayer money for illegals? They call themselves progressive global thinkers. We had another word for them in 1776. We call them traitors. This happened all once before. 232 years ago, it led to revolution and thousands of dead in the streets. It will happen again unless you take back America now.
I hope we have once again reminded people that man is not free unless government is limited. There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
From my cold, dead hands.
Only an aroused citizenry will turn this uncommon sense around. And he or she who does nothing now is helping them to destroy America. My name is Thomas Paine, and I approve of this message. I only hope to God you will too.
Colonized America, we won't stand for tyranny. Oh, and it's too late to apologize. It's too late. I said it's too late to apologize. It's too late.
That's what I like to see, bullseyes, every time. And you can do the same thing with Byers Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Byers Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Byers Barrels specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10/22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at ByersBarrels.com. That's B-E-Y-E-R Barrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Fence, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good. An earful of liberty.
What is it the gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of pens and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God!
Listen to Kit Lang on the Patrick Henry Society every Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Survival Circle Network.
I know not what cost others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death!
Never sounded so good.
There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the Ranger is still talked about today. Texas red and not cleared leather for a bullet fairly ripped. And the Ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
All right, it did take almost the whole break. I went out there and looked. We have a little coyote problem around here. I killed one day before yesterday with my little 44 Magnum. When the dogs bark, as often as not, it's a coyote or a coon or something out there. And I kept hearing this dog bark, but it's very sporadic, and I like it's got something cornered. And I went out and looked, checked for coyotes and everything with my awesome little light, and nothing there. And I said, well, where's Birdie at? Where's the dog at? Well, she's underneath there. She hasn't come out. And I said, well, she's probably got a rattlesnake or something down there. And I thought it was probably still a little cool. Today was real nice and warm, and I guess they just popped right out. And it wasn't a rattlesnake, though. She was standing in her doghouse looking at the floor, and I said, yeah, there's something in there. There's a rabbit or something. And I got down there and kind of looked between the floorboards, and I could see a snake coiled up there, but I couldn't see enough of it to tell what it was. And so I had Amy hold the light for me and went there and turned the doghouse up a little bit, and then I saw the snake crawl away and saw its tail, and it was only a bull snake, so I'm not going to kill a bull snake in there. But that's what was making her bark, and that's what took me so long. So a little out of breath, but I'm back. All right. Check this out here. Hang on just a second. I thought I had it ready. Here we go. Well, maybe I can't let you check out the whole thing. So let's go about this a different way. John Wayne, as all of you know, was probably along with Red Skelton and quite a few men that we had in those days. And these days we have such a shortage of men that it's really refreshing to see and hear some of the things that some of these old guys did. Unfortunately, the majority of them are dead now, but there's just not near enough of us left anymore. I say us because I'd like to think that I'm at least a small portion like John Wayne and some of these other awesome individuals. But I've got some things about John Wayne that some of you may not know. I didn't know some of this. Besides for being one of the best actors in history of television, in Joseph Stalin, I had no idea. Joseph Stalin ordered the KGB to assassinate John Wayne due to his anti-communist opinion, stance on things. Stalin thought it was a terrible threat to the Soviet Union, but the FBI, Foxtrot Bravo India, knew about this and actually intercepted the guys that were hired to kill him. Nikita Khrushchev canceled the order when he met John Wayne in 1958 and said this was a decision of Stalin during his last 5 years. When Stalin died, I rescinded the order. So that's had no idea about that. John Wayne had gotten 2 medals by the United States government. He was awarded the Congressional Medal in 1979, and then in 1980 got the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And everyone knows, well, I don't know that everyone knows, but most everybody knows that John Wayne was not his real name. His name was Marion Morrison, and his middle name started with an M too. I think it was Marion Michael Morrison. He didn't like that, and I don't blame him a damn bit. So that's why he became John Wayne. And it wasn't even his idea. Actually, it was some studio executives in 1930 that gave him the new name. They said, "Well, John Wayne sounds good. So how about you be John Wayne?" And here's another one that a lot of you probably don't know. And that is that John Wayne, believe it or not, was actually bald. Yep, had no hair. So I had no earthly idea that that was a fact. But, I don't know if I can play this. John Wayne had a tendency to be a little colorful with his language from time to time. So, if there's anything, I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet. If there's anything in here, I'm going to apologize in advance. Ziva, turn your ears off for a minute. But we're going to play it anyway. This is his comments on his lack of hair. And it's only, well, we're not going to play all
Duke
of it.
Duke made no secret that he wore a toupee in his films or when appearing in public. He treated it as a professional prop, as necessary to his actor's craft as makeup and costumes. In his private life, he was not personally vain. He seldom wore the hairpiece when aboard the Wild Goose, and he didn't mind if others saw him bald. Nor was he self-conscious about posing for home movies and photographs minus his toupee.
Like a lot of celebrities, they were very conscious about people having cameras around them. But that never seemed to bother Duke. The crew had cameras, and his friends would carry cameras, and he'd get very relaxed on the boat. And the fact that he was bald, he looked very different when you'd see him sitting there.
I asked Duke once if I could take pictures. He says, well, sure. He says, go ahead. But he says, try to let me know so I can turn my good side, you know. And it was all a jest, of course. And I assumed from the way he handled us taking pictures, he would never shy away from the camera or try to duck or tell us not to shoot now. Or I was never told at any time I couldn't shoot anything that I wanted.
When the need arose, he preferred wearing a hat to cover his lack of hair. At other times, usually when giving interviews or during certain social events, Duke would reluctantly don his toupee. If I wasn't in show business, he once confided to a crew member, I wouldn't even own the damn thing. As he realized, however, that damn thing had become an important part of his public image. He might not like wearing it, but he didn't treat it casually either, an attitude he made clear one day during a shipboard interview with a British film crew.
Well, we were up on the bridge underway, and they had the camera set up on the foredeck, and they wanted to get pictures of him standing out on the wing. And the wind was blowing pretty good because we were headed into it. And so he hollers down at the camera crew. He says, do I look okay, everything okay, before they start shooting? And I hollered up, you look fine, Mr. Wayne. And I turned and I looked at him, and the wind had gotten under the rug, and it was turning it back up like this. And those guys were going to go ahead and shoot him like that. So I looked over, I took a double take when I seen what was happening. I hollered at him, and he finally looked over at me, you know, like, what did I want? And I went like this to him. And he reached up and he felt that. And he goes, oh! And of course, a few unkind words came out of him, and he shot into the wheelhouse, and he says, those so-and-sos were going to go ahead and film me like that, weren't they? And so he ducked down, re-glued it, and then they took the picture. But that was about the only time I ever saw him get excited about it. He was pretty conscious when it came to camera work, but otherwise, just normal public, he didn't seem to mind too much.
The most prolific picture taker in the crew was Bert Minshaw, who owned movie and still cameras, both of which he put to frequent use. With Minshaw around, Duke liked to joke, I should be paid a performing fee. Yet he good-naturedly indulged Bert's more serious attempts at shipboard movie making, even when the budding director called for a second take. Duke was often playful before the cameras of others, and he was not above looking a little foolish if the mood was upon him. Nevertheless, he knew when a camera was around, a sixth sense he had developed over 40 years of celebrity and movie making. Yet the actor's sense of fun usually prevailed over the sometimes intrusive lenses of those around him. When Bert went to take his picture one time, Duke pointed in his direction and said in a loud stage whisper, look out for that guy. He's a sneaky bastard with a camera. And then grinned as the first mate clicked away.
All right, there you go. That was, I thought it was his comment, so I was expecting a little more language than that, but that wasn't too bad. I had no idea that John Wayne was bald. He also never served in the military. I never really thought about it too much. I just kind of assumed that he probably did, but he, you know, as many roles as he played in his military role, and he did a pretty darn good job of it. But he was too young in World War I, and when World War II came around, he was just working on getting famous. So then he had some health problems. You know, he had some heart issues and everything that. And so he was classified 4F as unacceptable for military service. And then he was classified as 3A and deferred for family dependency. But this was not his choice, they say. as the Republic Studio actually requested that they do this. In 1943, John Wayne did try to get in the Marine Corps and get attached to the OSS, which would eventually become the CIA. He was never in the military. His movies and USO tours helped to boost the morale of fighting men and women all over. After a film in one of his movies, half the people on the set were diagnosed with cancer. In 1956, John Wayne filmed the movie The Conqueror. It was filmed in Utah, downwind of Nevada's nuclear test sites. A total of 91 out of 220 people involved in the making of this movie would die of cancer. And this includes him, director Dick Powell, and every leading supporting cast member. But that number does not include extras or people that were involved in the filming of the movie. That was just the ones that they kept track of, the numbers there. He has been the lead character in more movies than any other actor. I always wondered this, how many movies he'd done. I'd never really looked it up. But he's been in 175 movies. Wow. Out of that 175, he was the lead actor in 142 of them, which I would have expected 175 of them. But anyway, that's more than any other actor. And a little bonus here, John Wayne and Ronald Reagan were really good friends. They were both part of an organization of conservatives who wanted to stop communists from working in the film industry. John Wayne was a huge supporter of Reagan when he ran for governor and also when he ran for president. Reagan also wrote a biography about John Wayne. So there you go. There's a number of facts about John Wayne that you may or may not have known. And one little bonus I'll throw in for you, and I told you this here some time ago. That was, I have an Indian friend. I haven't seen him in years, but I still call him a friend. We were pretty close when I was in school. And he was named John Wayne because he was orphaned, and some missionaries raised him or found him. And it's funny that one of John Wayne's first movies, it was, what the heck was it? It started with an S. Anyway, I can't remember what it was. But anyway, John Wayne was doing that movie about then, and that was around Monument Valley, somewhere in there in Arizona. And the missionaries found this little Indian kid, and they didn't know who he was or couldn't find any of his relatives or anything. So they called him John Wayne. And it was because John Wayne was filming that movie at that time in that same place. And later on, after I had met him, he had found some of his family and found out that his last name was Cly, C-L-Y. So now he's but they kept the other name, his John Wayne Cly. We always called him John Wayne. Nobody ever called him John. Nobody ever called him anything but John Wayne. That was his name. So there you have it. Okay, I'm gonna need to catch my breath after that big long spiel right here. So I think I'm gonna play a little song here, about a foot long. And we'll be back here in just a second. And I've got let's do this different. I had some other stories here that I told Amy yesterday. That you remember we talked about the mom that slapped the snot out of that little brat kid of hers on camera there. And I knew that was going to be a bad idea, and I told Amy yesterday, I said, you watch. When all the fanfare dies down and everything, she's going to be in trouble. And sure enough, today we hear that Child Protective Services has launched an investigation and to find out if she is fit to be the legal guardian of all of her children. You know, if they did that with every everybody that I knew when I was growing up, good Lord, we'd all be with CPS. If things were bad enough, I mean, you know, everybody just kind of took it for granted that if you screwed up, you know, sitting at grandma's dinner table, you're subject to get backhanded, knocked out of your chair. And if you do other things that's bad enough, you may wind up getting a little belt. Well, it's probably a good thing my dad didn't wear a gun all the time, because I heard that belt come off, heard it going past the loops more times than once. And son, when I knew that was coming off, I knew I was fixing to have a bad day. And if CPS would have been around back then and ever seen that, ooh-wee. But, and I'm sure a lot of you have experienced the same thing. And you know, that's one of the things that a whole bunch of us right now recognize as being instrumental in helping us learn about a thing called respect and decency and courtesy and morals and values. And, you know, the more that we forgot some of those things, the more that we hear that belt screaming through the belt loops. So I think that it's a good thing. I think that all of us that have experienced that, I think it's made us the awesome individuals that we turned out to be. And I think that we're starting to see it now. We're starting to see the pathetic, disgusting display of disrespect of kids that are starting to grow up in this non-spanking society. And I'll just be go on record right now as saying I am absolutely not a fan of the non-spanking side. Now, if a kid never messes up, never backtalks you, never does nothing wrong, then don't spank them. You don't spank them just to be spanking them. But there's not a whole lot of kids like that. There's a few. But when we have this, what do you call it? The you know, timeout and all that kind of stuff. No. As the redneck guy said, Jeff Foxworthy says, timeout. How about a knockout? Yeah, well, that's what I'm talking about. And I think this mother did just fine. I think she was mad, and I think she should have done it without using the language that she did. But that kid deserved everything that he got. And now she's being investigated by CPS. So we'll see how that turns out. you know, there are times when something may not be too severe. A little back talking or something may be just you know, a swat or two with the hand. But there are other times when you do things that are beyond that. I'm not belt kind of, you know, it might be a little extreme for some things. But given the offense, you know, I think it's fine depending on what they've done. I don't think that you need to take a belt to a kid because they don't eat their carrots. But, you know, there's other things that, and I don't think you ought to whip them until they bleed either. Usually about three or four swats with a belt, usually plenty to get the point across. It doesn't take a whole lot. And hitting with the hand, Goat Moog says that hitting with the hand is worse. Hitting with the hand can cause damage before you really make any hurt. The belt stings. You don't have to hit near as hard, and that I think that's absolutely a fact. But the other thing is, and I know this from experience, hurt your hand too. Open hand is put across. Once your kid gets a little older and you give him a swat, it hurts. So I just as soon use a 2x6 or something. No, I'm kidding. I wouldn't do that. Barber strap, or actually that should be strop. Yeah, once you get one or two of those, that's probably enough to. And you know, the other thing is, you don't have to do that very often. Once you receive the belt or the barber strop there a time or two, and you realize what it was for, you're disinclined to do that again. At least where you're going to get caught. I remember when when I was in third grade. I used to carry a New Testament around in my back pocket sometimes, and we had a teacher there that used one. Remember those little paddles that had the rubber ball tied to them with the rubber band, and you hit that ball and kind of like playing ping pong by yourself. And she had one of those, and she bent me over the desk. I think it was the teacher. Bent me over the desk right there and reared back. We got caught bailing out of the swings, and we'd get however many swats there was for however many of us there was bailing out of the swings. Well, there was four of us that day, and we were getting four swats, and I was unimpressed. And she reared back with that thing and whacked me right on that New Testament, and that paddle broke, and I cracked up laughing. Oh, she was pissed. She sent me to the principal's office, and that was more worser. He made me take my little New Testament out of my back pocket, and he had one of those fine pieces of cherry wood with holes drilled in it. And the rest is history. And I ain't bailed out of the swings still yet today. I remember what that's like, and I ain't fixing to do it again. I got all of that I needed right then. Okay, well, let's see. Let me shut down a couple things and get them out of the way here. And I'm going to, we're going to go ahead and start up with Liberty Lounge here. I think we've jacked our jaws about long enough. So let's go ahead and take off and see what we can do with some of this other stuff here.
I feel tears welling up cold and deep inside, like my heart's sprung a big break. And the stab of loneliness sharp and painful that I may never shake. Now you might say that I was taking it hard since you wrote me off with a call. But don't you wager that I'll hide the sorrow when I may ride down and bow. Now the race is on and here comes pride up the backstretch. Heartaches are going to the inside. My tears are holding back. They're trying not to fall. My heart's out of the running, true love stretched for another's sake. The race is on and it looks like heartaches, and the winner loses all. One day I ventured in love, never once suspecting what the final result would be. How I lived in fear of waking up each morning and finding that you'd gone from me. There's aching and pain in my heart, for the day was the one that I headed to face. Somebody new came up to win her, and I came out in second place. Now the race is on, and here comes pride at the backstretch. Heartaches are going to the inside. My tears are holding back. They're trying not to fall. My heart's out of the running. True love scratched for another's sake. The race is on and it looks like heartaches. And the winner loses all.
Tells me that I'm not the
You guys didn't know I had a live audience in here tonight, did you? No. Iowa Cat, I don't know that, Buck Owens ever did that. I've never heard him do it. It's possible I could look it up and see. Maybe during the next song I'll see if I can find a little bit on it and let you know. But let's just continue to march here and I'll check it out for you.
Sometimes it's hard to be a woman, giving all your love to just one man. You have bad times and you have good times, doing things that you don't understand. But if you love him, you'll forgive him, even though he's hard to understand. And if you love him, oh, be proud of him, 'cause after all, he's just a man.
Name
just know she's somewhere down in Texas, somewhere round about to Fort Worth, Dallas, or Houston, or old El Paso. She waits for me, I know. She waits for me.
Oh, the crystal chandeliers light up the paintings on your wall. Marble statuettes are standing stately in the hall. But will the timely crowds that pass your lightning mile help you dry your tears when the new lures off of your crystal chandelier? Never did fit in too well with the folks you knew. When it's plain to see that the likes of me don't fit with you, so you traded me for the gaiety of the well-to-do, and you turned away from the love I offered you. The crystal chandeliers light up the paintings on your wall. The marble statuettes are standing stately around the hall. But will the timely crowd that had your laughing loud help you dry your tears when the new words off of your crystal chandeliers? See your picture in the news most every day. You're the chosen girl of the social world, so the stories say. But a paper smile only lasts a while, then it fades away. And the love we knew will come home to you someday. Crystal chandeliers light up the paintings on your wall. The marble statuettes are standing stately in the hall. But will the timely crowd that has your laughing loud help you dry your tears when the new words off of your crystal chandeliers? When the new words on from your crystal chandeliers. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Charlie. I appreciate that. Thanks for coming in here at such short notice. But looks like we got two shows going on here. We got the old PM edition of the Shooting Bench going on the chat room, and Liberty Lounge going on the stream. Well, that's good. That works out well. Let's see. Somebody asked a question up here a while ago. Well, I don't know where it went. I suppose if they want an answer bad enough, it'll come back. Yeah, I saved that story, Minnie. I saw that earlier today about the Capitol Police left their guns in bathrooms. And, you know, I don't know how many times we've talked about that, and I don't know if I've ever discussed, maybe once, it seemed like there may have been one time that a civilian, you know, citizen, John Q. Citizen, had found out somehow that he'd left his gun in the bathroom, or somebody else found it, and that's why it made the news. But it's always cops. We've talked about this numerous times, and it brought up the topic of what do you do with your gun when you're in the bathroom. And we had a TSA cop one time, TSA whatever they are, I don't know if we call them cops or what, but left a gun in a bathroom in Atlanta, a Glock 22. And I don't know. I haven't read all of this story yet that Minnie posted there, but I saw it earlier today on headlines. I saved it. I was going to talk about it, but you know, it is a very real problem. And I look on Facebook and you look at all the people that read all those people are stupid. Don't you think you'd notice if you didn't have your gun? No, I don't. As a matter of fact, I've been carrying a gun daily for, the biggest part of 40 years. I started carrying absolutely every single day of my life back in, must have been about probably 91 or 92. And I carried one pretty cotton pick and regular before that, but 91 or 92, I started carrying one 365 days a year. And, it's not hard to walk off and leave it. Thank goodness I haven't done it yet, but I have come close. And I've, and that's why I've developed a couple of different ways to help remember that. By the same token, you go in the post office, you pull your gun out and come back in and sit down and drive off, and you forget to put it back in the holster. So you need a little signal there somewhere, maybe to help you remember. So, I don't care how long you've been doing it, there's always still a possibility of either forgetting to put it back in the holster or forgetting to put it back in the holster, period. You don't usually, after you've carried for a while, you remember what the laws are and you remember where you're not supposed to go, and pretty soon you become kind of like Pavlov's dogs and you drive up to a post office or to somewhere where you know you're not supposed to have it, and there's this little thing goes off in the back of your mind that I can't carry a gun in there, and you just kind of habitually pull it out without even thinking and put it wherever it is that you put it, under the seat or something, and you come back, though it's not too hard to drive off and forget to put it back in the holster, which is kind of the same thing that happens in the bathroom. So you can create some little signals and things to avoid that. Now, I'm not sure about this one right here, but I'm going to start it and see what happens. I may have to stop it, but let's see here.
You can dance every dance with the guy that gives you the eye and let him hold you tight. You can smile every smile for the man that held your hand beneath the pale.
Tell him no.
Yes. Tell him
please
no.
Don't.
Yeah, Iowa Cat, you don't really have to be that old to know who this one is. You guys are going to be surprised about this. I was surprised that I could find it. But that is none other than Lethal Weapon. That's Bruce Willis. Yep. Only song I know of. I'm sure he did some more, but that's the only one. There's a lot of people, lots of people have done that song. A great many people have done that song. But that was the, was it Lethal Weapon? No, the other guy. Who in the heck, what were the series that Bruce Willis did? I can't think of them right now. I hate that. I hate getting old. You know, it kills me. But anyway. Okay. Well, let's look at another couple of things going on here. Yeah. No way. Yeah, that was Bruce Willis. Got a couple other things I need to discuss here real quick. If I can bring these up here. I bet any newcomers we got to the show tonight thinks that this is a wild thing here. Let's see. Let me pull these up. There's actually several, but I'm not going to get into politics and stuff. I will say that most of you have probably heard by now that they've charged those cops diehard. Thank you, Peanut Rider. And B2 Basic and Eddie Crump and Desert Rat and everybody else. they charged those, you know, half a dozen cops or so with murder and a number of other charges on in the death of Freddie Gray in Baltimore, and who was the what got all this rioting and stuff going on there. And if you know, if everything they say is true about them not stopping and getting medical help when he asked for it and this kind of thing, you know, I'm all for it. But the thing is, you know, above and beyond all that, they shouldn't even have arrested him. They find out that he hadn't done anything wrong. He did not have a switchblade. He had a legal knife. Yes, he had a big, long record. Yes, on the one hand, you could say, well, just one more drug dealer and glad to be rid of him. Well, that's not the point. As Constitution, liberty, freedom-loving Americans here, that's not the way we administer justice. You don't do it on your own. You don't. We have a set of guidelines here that says something to the effect that you're innocent until proven guilty, that you can have your day in court. Now, if you catch somebody in the act, that's a different thing. But if he, in fact, was put in there and not given the medical attention when he asked for it and all this kind of stuff, then, you know, you could call it murder, you can call it manslaughter, you can do it all, but past that, we have a whole city full of people. Not all of them, by the way. It's neat to see all this. The blacks are very much divided there. There's a great many of them there that believe in truth, justice, and the American way. And are sticking up for, you know, what is right and wrong, and waiting to see what the investigation turns up and everything else. But by and large, the others, they want justice. You know, they say no peace, no justice, meaning that there's not going to be any peace if we don't get justice. They're hanging him already. They're the cops. Their justice means that they want him, you know, hung, imprisoned, whatever. And okay, I can see that they were happy that they were charged. Okay, I'm all right with that. And if everything that they said was true, then yes, they should have been charged. I have never ever seen any type of a criminal thing that involved something this serious, where a police officer was charged this fast. How could they have possibly done enough investigation to warrant murder charges against these cops? I can see at this point, being suspended with or without pay, doesn't matter, I mean, one or the other. But it's hard to believe that they are being charged already. This was just, what, a week ago or something like that? And it's the whole thing just stinks of racism and vigilantism, and I just hate the whole thing. It there's a good chance that also that it may not be. I can be a racist and I can say, okay, you know, the attorney, district attorney was black and the prosecutor was black and this was black and that was black and everybody was black. But you know, the cops that arrested them and did all this, and some of them were black too. And some of the people that are protecting those cops and standing in line, all of them were black. So it's interesting to see the wedge driven here between in the black community there. And so I'm very interested in how this is gonna turn out, see what happens here. But what I was gonna say a while ago is that it could be that after buildings were destroyed and cars were destroyed and people were killed and injured and everything else, they may just say, you know what, we don't want any more rioting, just charge them with murder and that'll make them happy for now. But what happens if they go to trial and they are cleared? It all starts over again. Are these people going to be, are they going to be sentenced to life in prison or death because they don't want their town destroyed anymore? That sounds a little far-fetched, but I think it's certainly a possibility. I hate to think of it, but, you know, it is what it is.
They're not teardrops, just sincere drops. They're I love you drops, 'cause I love you. I love you. They were on my pillow when I woke up this morning. They were on the letter I tried all day to write, and just a little while ago I saw them falling on your picture as I kissed it good night. Been gone so long, drops. They're not teardrops, just sincere drops that say I'm lonesome and I love you.
I love you.
Never knew this heart could hurt the way it hurts for you. Never lived so many lifetimes in a week. Why don't you come back to me the way you said you would, and kiss these little crystals off my cheek. Hurry home, drops. You've been gone so long, drops.
They're not teardrops, just sincere.
Cat, let me type this in here. I didn't see it before the song was done, but that wasn't Burl Ives. It does have a little bit of a Burl Ives twinge to it there, but that is that was Roy Drusky. Roy Drusky didn't get nearly the credit that he deserved. He's got a lot of good songs I like. We're going to play a couple more here in a little bit. Not sure what Roger's talking about. I heard Cope repeating the last 5 minutes. Not sure what's going on there, but we'll continue to march here. I'm going to try this. I don't think this is the one I was looking for. I think I'm going to have to dig a little deeper, but we'll see. Stand by. Nope, that's not it. Never mind. Let's just do this.
I've got a tiger by the tail, it's plain to see. I won't be much when you get through with me. Well, I'm a losing weight and I'm turning mighty pale. Looks like I've got a tiger by the tail. Well, I thought the day I met you, you were as a lamb, just the kind to fit my dreams and plans. Now the pace we're living takes the wind from my sails, and it looks like I've got a tiger by the tail. I've got a tiger by the tail, it's plain to see. I won't be much when you get through with me. Well, I'm a losing weight and I'm turning mighty pale. Looks like I've got a tiger by the tail.
Mm-hmm. looks like I've got a tiger by the tail. I've got a tiger by the tail, it's plain to see. I won't be much when you get through with me. Well, I'm a losing weight and I'm turning mighty pale. Looks like I've got a tiger by the tail.
There's a new world somewhere they call the promised land, and I'll be there someday if you will hold my hand. I still need you there beside me, no matter what I do, for I know I'll never find another you. There is always someone to reach across, they say, and you'll be my someone forever and a day. I could search the whole world over until my life is through, but I know I'll never find another you. It's a long, long journey, so stay by my side. When I walk through the storm, you'll be my guide, be my guide. If they gave me a fortune, my pleasure would be small. I could lose it all tomorrow and never mind at all. But if I should lose your love, dear, I don't know what I'd do, for I know I'll never find another you.
Said it'd take a week to clean room 23 and put new carpet on the floor. Said we ruined his reputation, and what about the shame and disgrace? But we just never learned to love without leaving love all over the place. Served our eviction notice yesterday while we were picking up our clothes. She started screaming, somebody's gonna pay. She said it'd take a dozen carpenters to fix the broken bed and drapes, but we just never learned to love without leaving love all down the other side when we're over the hill. The mourners formed a single line as they filed by to pay their last respects, and they couldn't help but wonder how two lovers could break each other's necks, and they wondered take the smiles from off their face. Then the preacher said, "Dearly beloved, why that sweet couple, they just never learned to love without leaving love all over the place. No, we never learned to love without leaving love all over the place."
When I was but a young man, I was wild and full of fire. A youth within my teens, but full of challenge and desire. I ran away from home and left my mother and my dad. I know it grieved them so to think their only boy was bad. I fell in with an outlaw band, their names were known quite well. How many times we robbed and plundered, I could never tell. This kind of sinful living leads only to a fall. I learned that much and more the night I heard my master call. One night we rustled cattle, a thousand head or so, and started them out on the trail that leads to Mexico. But a norther started blowing and lightning flashed about. I thought someone was calling me, I thought I heard a shout. Then at that moment, lightning struck not 20 yards from me. And left there was a giant cross where once there was a tree. And this time I knew I heard a voice so sweet and strange. A voice that came from everywhere, a voice that called my name. So frightened I was thinking of sinful deeds I'd done. I failed to see the thousand head of cattle start to run. The cattle they stampeded were running all around. My pony ran but stumbled and it threw me to the ground. I felt the end was near, that death would be the price. When a mighty bolt of lightning showed the face of Jesus Christ. And I cried, "Oh Lord, forgive me, don't let it happen now. I want to live for you alone, oh God," these words I vow. My wicked past unfolded, I thought of wasted years. When another bolt of lightning killed 100 head of steers. And the others rushed on by me, and I was left to live. The master had a reason, life is his to take or give. A miracle performed that night, I wasn't meant to die. The dead ones formed a barricade, at least 6 or 7 high. Right behind it there was I, afraid but safe and sound. I cried and begged for mercy, kneeling there upon the ground. A pardon I was granted, my sinful soul set free. No more to fear the angry waves upon life's stormy sea. Forgiven by the love of God, a love that will remain. I gave my life and soul the night the Savior called my name.
They just don't know how lost I feel without you. My teardrops never see the light of day. I laugh and joke each time they talk about you. But if they heard my heart, they'd hear it say, "Excuse me, I think I've got a heartache. There's an aching deep inside, and it just won't be denied. Excuse me, I think I've got a heartache. And I'd better say goodbye before I cry."
makes me hide my sorrow. I live a lie in all I do and say. My lips may lie and paint a bright tomorrow, but if I told the truth, I'd have to say, excuse me, I think I've got a heartache. There's an aching deep inside, and it just won't be denied. Excuse me, I think I've got a heartache, and I'd better say goodbye before I cry.
Red, red wine, go to my head, make me forget that I still need her so.
In the arena, all dressed up to the brim. Said he just came down from a place called Highland Rim. Well, he said he came to ride the horse, the one they call the Brute. But he didn't look like a cowboy in his continental suit. We snickered at the way he dressed, but he never said a word. He walks on by the rest of us as if he hadn't heard. $1,000 went to the man that could ride this wild cayuse. I mean, a horse was never born than the one they called a Brute. The horse that he was looking for was in chute number 8. He walked up very slowly, put his hand upon the gate. We knew he was a thoroughbred when he pulled a sack of dukes from the inside pocket of his continental suit. Well, he rolled himself a quirly and he let it standing there. Blew himself a smoke ring and he watched it disappear. We thought he must be crazy when he opened up the gate. standing just inside was 1,500 pounds of hate. The buckskin tried to run him down, but the stranger was too quick. He stepped aside and threw his arms around the horse's neck, and he pulled himself upon the back of the horse they called a brute. Set like he was born there in his continental suit. The brute's hind end was in the air, his front end on the ground, kicking and a squealing, trying to shake the stranger down. But the stranger didn't give an inch, he came to ride the brute. And he came to ride the buckskin in a continental suit. Well, I turned around to look at Jim, and he was watching me. He said, I don't believe the crazy things I think I see, but I think I see the outlaw, the one they call the brute, ridden by a cowboy in a continental suit. The brute came to a standstill, ashamed that he'd been rode by a city cowboy in some continental clothes. The stranger took his money, and we don't know where he went. We don't know where he came from, and we haven't seen him since. The moral of the story, never judge by what they wear. Underneath some ragged clothes could be a millionaire. Everybody listen, don't be fooled by this galoot. This sure enough bronc buster in a continental suit.
You know, I'm a big fan of Marty Robbins, but this next one here, I'm kind of like with Tim McGraw. Sorry that he's a magnificent entertainer, just wonderful, but he is a anti-gun liberal puke, so, or at least a liberal puke. I'm not sure about the gun things, but he's got a lot of songs that I like. You know, just don't think about his politics.
A man with 40 acres plowed and planted can't send no 14-year-old boy to no school. The only thing I learned in the years I worked on my daddy's farm was, son, you better get them crops in when it turns cool. In the magazines I saw the naked women, I heard about the drinking and the bars. If my daddy could have caught me, he'd have killed me. He said, you might run, boy, but you ain't gonna get far. I hit town, or you might say that it hit me. Next morning there were things I knew more about. The woman who had taken me in said, country boy, you're all right. The same way I turned her on, she turned me out. The first law I broke, right away they got me. I helped them build the country roads for a while. They fed me two times a day and knocked me down about four. For 30 days I didn't even crack a smile. Met a nice girl, and she said I was her baby. She let me go and would never tell me why. I learned what it means to be somebody's baby. They let you lie in your bed by yourself and cry. The miles were good, but the mileage is turning my hair gray. I've met some people that knew me and call me friend. Ain't no sense in wanting my life to live over. I'd find different ways to make
his face again. So let me say this, I never tried to hurt anybody, though I guess there's a few that I still couldn't look in the eye. If I've got one wish, I hope it rains at my funeral. For once, I'd like to be the only one dry.
Tom T. Hall, that's not one of his, not one of his biggest, most popular ones, but nevertheless. All right, we've got another story here, and this is not the first time we've had this come up. It's the most recent. But we've heard Ted Turner and several other UN officials, not that Ted Turner's a UN official, but we've heard UN officials and a couple of very, very out there left-wingers talking about depopulating the planet. Yeah, getting rid of you and me. And the latest one, Christiana Figueres, something like that, Executive Secretary for the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, said that the Earth is already overburdened with people and that we should take a look at depopulating the planet. And this is a quote. She says, there is pressure in the system to go toward that. We can definitely change those, right? We can definitely change those numbers. Really, we should make every effort to change those numbers because we already, today, already exceeding the planet's planetary carrying capacity. So yes, we should do everything possible. But we cannot fall into the very simplistic opinion of saying just by curtailing population that we've solved the problem. It's not either or. It's an and also. So she just popped right out there with her bare face hanging out and said, I think we need to kill off a whole bunch of you and we can save the planet. So, you know, there's so many different theories and stuff going on out there with the chemtrails and the, you know, and I'm not saying that there's not something going on with chemtrails. I'm just saying or contrails or whatever. I'm just saying that every time a jet flies over, that doesn't mean some of these people have just gotten so stupid with this that every time they see a jet of some kind, they can see a white trail behind it, then it's somehow a you know, something poisonous and terrible. Hey, Ty Jax is in there. Been a long time, but a long, long time since we've seen you in here. Glad you made it in. You know, I'm not saying that there's not something to that. I can't say. I don't know. I haven't been in. You know, you can look at all the pictures and all the crap and videos on YouTube and the dialogue that goes along with it, and they can make you believe anything that they want to. But I'm not convinced that it's nearly as bad as some people think it is. Jets have been leaving those white trails behind them ever since jets were invented. You know, I've seen those same white trails behind jets in the 60s. So if they were trying to poison us, they're not doing a very damn good job, because that was like a long time ago when I was but a wee boy. So there you go. Take it for what it's worth.
Where the blue and lonely go, where the music's loud and clear, it's the only place I know where the blue and lonely go. The streetlights serve to light my way as I make my way downtown to one of many night spots I know where they're all found. Yes, I'm back again to the lonely life, a life that many know. Soon I'll be there with a glass of wine where the blue and lonely go, where the blue and lonely go, where the music's loud and clear. It's the only place I know, where the blue and lonely go. There was a time when I had loved, and I tried so to be free from the life that I was used to. It was just too hard for me. Now as I try to keep my heart from letting memories show, I pretend that I'm so happy here, where the blue and lonely go, where the blue and lonely go, where the music's loud and clear. It's the only place I know, where the blue and lonely go.
I played a wedding for the money, and I wished I could have told the bride and groom just what I think of marriage and what's in store after their honeymoon. And I was grumbling to the dancers about how men and women ought to live apart, and how a promise never made cannot be broken and can never break a heart. Then suddenly, from out of nowhere, a little girl came dancing across the floor, and all her crinolines were billowing beneath the skirt of calico that she wore. And oh, what a joy fell on the honored guests as each one of them was drawn into her dream. And they laughed, stamped, clapped their hands, and hollered at her, "Dance, little Jean." And they said, "Dance, little Jean, this day is for you. Two people you love stood up to say I do. Dance, little Jean, a prayer that you had was answered today. Your mama's marrying your dad." Cynical heart just melted, 'cause I figured what this get together meant. How it ended years of tears and sad confusion that the little girl had spent. And they told the band to pack it up by the time the couple cut the cake. But we played as long as they stayed for love and laughs and little Jeannie's sake. And we played "Dance, little Jean, this day is for you. Two people you love stood up to say I do. Dance, little Jean, a prayer that you had was answered today. Your mama's marrying your dad. It was answered today. Your mama's marrying your dad."
Showed me how this town shattered dreams.
Eddie Crump classic, by my definition, is not Twisted Sister. It's The Who. And we're going to do some 50s, 60s, 70s stuff. We're not going to get quite into where... Why are you doing this? Thou must not... All right, thank you. Okay, there you go.
I got up this morning, and while I was having my coffee, my woman came in and sat down by my side. With tears in her eyes, she said, "I've a confession to make." And I said, "Woman, speak what's on your mind." She said, "I found somebody new to take your place." I said, "Don't feel so all alone. I found someone of my own. You know those lonely nights when you left me all alone. Oh, my new love would call and comfort me on the telephone." And I said, "Darling, if that's the way it's gotta be, oh, sweet woman, don't you worry about me." She said, "I found somebody new to take your place." I said, "Don't feel so all alone. I found someone of my own." I got up from the table, I reached down and wiped the tears from her face. I put out my cigarette, turned and walked away. She said, "I found somebody new to take your place." I said, "Don't feel so
strange things going on here tonight. I don't know what, got a little ghost in the turntable here or something. Not sure what's going on. We'll keep trying to struggle through here a little bit. When I'm not sure that your classic rock and mine is exactly the same, but I think Doc's and mine is probably pretty close. But, I was thinking more, and actually we're gonna go back quite a ways. We're gonna do some 50s and a lot of 60s. I love 60s rock. I like a lot of that old stuff. And there's a good bit of 70s. Most of the 70s that I like. Once the 80s started, they started losing me. And, there's still a few that come around that was okay. But, by the time the 90s started, I was done. That was it for me. Haven't heard anything since then that I'm fond of. But there was a few in the 80s, lots and lots of it in the 70s, 60s, and all the way back into the 50s. But that's the kind of stuff we're going to do next weekend. I've been thinking about kind of doing it. Now, we've only done this two other times, I think. And we've been doing this for like 3 years, I think, something like that. Maybe a little more than 3 years. But I think only twice in that 3 years. We've only missed Friday nights. We probably haven't missed, I doubt if we've missed a half a dozen live shows in 3 years on Friday night. But we've done a gospel show or two, country gospel. And we've done truck driving songs and songs about Texas and songs about women and songs. I mean, we've had a theme that we've chosen a time or two. And it all turned out pretty good. Matter of fact, I saved most of them. And if I can't make it in, you know, I'll slip one of those in that we haven't listened to for a year or so. And it works out okay. And what is going on here? The dog. Amy put the dogs in the laundry room tonight because that damn snake's still out there. So I'm going to have to go out after the show and do something with the snake. But anyway. Yeah, I knew you did, C7. I know you liked those real good. And welcome back, by the way. I'm still trying to work out something with you. I'll give you a call or I'll send you a wicker later tonight or tomorrow. Let you know what's going on. But anyway, well, I tell you one thing that has always been constant, though, regardless of what we play, regardless of whether it was gospel stuff or rock or continuous country over and over and over and over. And we've got quite a few people in here that actually like that. And I can crap in one of them's britches right now. And I don't ever get tired of it. I can listen to it, you know, 24/7, 365. Bluegrass, I like some of it. I don't dislike it really. I just don't really miss it if I'm not playing it. No, you know, not listening to it. But there's a good bit of that bluegrass that's pretty lively. I like it pretty well. Some of it's kind of goofy, but anyway. Goat Moog said there's some modern stuff that's okay, but even her daughters like the old stuff. And you know, that's the same with television. If you'll let kids watch TV Land or one of those, and let them watch some of the old VHS tapes that you have of Mickey Mouse, Roadrunner, you know. The what was the rooster? Who was that? Foghorn Leghorn, and some of those kind of things. The kids love it, and if they have a choice, they'll watch that before they will some of these stupid crap, square pants, SpongeBob, whatever in the hell it is. They like that stuff that's just not offered to them very much, and some of the kids, if you let them listen to some of this good older music, they actually like it. They just didn't know there was anything else till somebody introduces it to them, you know. If they've got parents that listen to that stuff, then they get to hear it. Then, you know, my kids are not, they all like it, and some of them pretty well. But, you know, they've still got their own newer stuff that they like. But they don't dislike my stuff. You know, they don't get mad and pout and stomp and turn their whatever in the hell player they have in their ears up and get mad about it. You know, they still listen to it with me. So that's a good thing. All right, let's continue to march. Let's go back here. I had another story I wanted to share with you. Let me go here and find it real quick. And it's I'm not going to get into too much politics, or at least bad politics, put everybody in a bad mood. It's too late for that. But Oregon, believe it or not, has passed a reciprocity bill, or the House has. It still has to go to the Senate. The House passed this 57-1. Yeah, I thought that was very nice for Oregon. And they're looking at a concealed carry reciprocity bill that's going to honor any state that their training is substantially similar. And a lot of states have that stipulation in there. New Mexico is the same way. They don't all they don't all enforce that. But in order to have written reciprocity agreements, they're going to have training that is substantially similar, and their state, the other state, will have to honor Oregon, so it will be true reciprocity. So it's not perfect, it's not the best out there, but, you know, they've come a long way, so I'll have to give Oregon a pat on the back for trying here. Now, this is a neat story. This is the, do you remember that we talked about the mom that smacked her kid there, and CPS is now investigating her? Well, Marcus Luttrell, you know who Marcus Luttrell is, right? The Navy SEAL who was the subject of the movie Lone Survivor. Great show, as a matter of fact. He got wind of this, and he got on Facebook, and he found out her name. He said, you know, if anybody knows her, if anybody can get her, he said, I've got an offer for her. Have her get a hold of me. And so they got in touch with each other. And he said he'd been on the road for a week or so, and he just got back and saw that video handing out a little attitude adjustment to her son, and brought back some memories of my own mother knocking a fire from my body when I stepped out of line. If anyone can get this message to her, I'll be in Baltimore on September 26th for a Patriot tour. Miss Graham, please bring the family out as my guest. Would love to meet you and your son. As a matter of fact, you can let your son spend the day with me and some of my teammates if he wants. What an offer. What an amazing... Now, I don't know if this kid, I don't know what his attitude's like. You know, I think he was just a follower and probably doesn't know what his goal in life is. But if he will accept that, when on September 26th, it could be absolutely a life-changing event for him. I think that is an amazing offer. How many teenage kids would jump at the chance and get the you know, if they got the opportunity to do something like that? Hell, I would. I'd be all over that. You betcha. Okay, let's carry on here. Let's continue to march.
Don't wait for the postman. If you're looking for a letter from me, there won't be any more. There won't be. If you're waiting for a call from me, there won't be any more. There won't be any more. Don't think of the love we had till you turn back and broke my love. Thank you.
lot of folks would think that's a Charlie Rich song, and it actually is, but this was Roy Drusky again. He did this long, long before Charlie Rich was, who did that song. So this, I don't know if fair, let's see if we can get a date here. And by the way, I looked that other song up, Iowa Cat, a while ago. You asked if Buck Owens had done it. No, I can't find any indication in any of my research to ever, and I don't even remember what song it was now, but that Buck Owens ever did that song. So your little bit of trivia for tonight. Okay, let's move on here.
Just begun. The Germans had the biggest ship that had the biggest guns. The Bismarck was the fastest ship that ever sailed the sea. On her decks were guns as big as stairs and shells as big as trees. Out of the cold and foggy night came the British ship, the Hood. And every British seaman, he knew and understood. They had to sink the Bismarck, the terror of the sea. Stop those guns as big as steers and those shells as big as trees. We find that German battleship that's making such a fuss. We gotta sink the Bismarck, cause the world depends on us.
Hit the decks, are running, boys, and spin those guns around.
But when we find the Bismarck, we gotta cut her down. The Hood found the Bismarck, and on that fatal day,
the Bismarck started firing 15 miles away. We gotta sink the Bismarck, was the battle sound.
But when the smoke had cleared away, the mighty Hood went down. For 6 long days and weary nights, they tried to find her trail.
Churchill told the people, put every ship a sail, cause somewhere on that ocean, I know she's gotta be.
We gotta sink the Bismarck to the bottom of the sea. We find that German battleship that's making such a fuss. We gotta sink the Bismarck, cause the world depends on us.
They hit the decks, are running, boys, and spin those guns around.
When we find the Bismarck, we gotta cut her down. The fog was gone the seventh day, and they saw the morning sun.
10 hours away from homeland, the Bismarck made its run. The admiral of the British fleet said, turn those bows around.
We found that German battleship, and we're gonna cut her down. The British guns were aimed, and the shells were coming fast.
The first shell hit the Bismarck, they knew she couldn't last. That mighty German battleship is just a memory.
Sink the Bismarck was the battle cry that shook the seven seas. We found that German battleship was making such a fuss. We had to sink the Bismarck cause the world depends on us.
We hit the deck, we're running, and we spun those guns around. Yeah,
we found that mighty Bismarck and we had to cut her down. We found that German battleship was making such a fuss. We had to sink the Bismarck cause the world depends on us.
We hit the deck a-running and we spun those guns around.
We found the mighty Bismarck and then we cut her down.
Howdy, ho,
remember how he said goodbye to the girl that loved him, and the way that she cried.
Every pretty girl I can find, having a fling with a pretty young thing till early morning, knowing tomorrow I'll wake up with you on my mind. Guilty conscience, I guess, though I must confess, I never loved you much when you were mine. So I'll keep drinking champagne and feeling no pain till early morning, dining and dancing with every pretty girl I can find. I'll keep having a fling with a pretty young thing till early morning, knowing tomorrow I'll wake up with you on my mind. Drinking champagne, feeling no pain till early morning, knowing tomorrow I'll wake up with you on my mind. Speed.
meal. Talk about a poor boy, talk about a poor boy, never saw a dollar bill. Well, my work was so hard at the sawmill. Think about a poor boy, think about a poor boy, when you go to write your will. We'll see my teardrops falling down. My wife left this sawmill town. She said sawmill life had been a sin, 'cause the gravy was too thin. I can't work no more at the sawmill. Mercy on a poor boy, mercy on a poor boy, let me have a she wants a dollar bill. You're not satisfied at the sawmill. Women like a dollar, women like a dollar, yes, and women always will. See my teardrops falling down. My wife left this sawmill town. She said the sawmill life. Mercy on a poor boy, let me have a dollar bill. Mercy on a poor boy, mercy on a poor boy, let me have a dollar bill.
Hang on a second. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa.
So weary today, I'm so blue, sad and broken hearted, and it's all because of you. Life was so sweet, dear. Life was a song. Now you've gone and left me. Oh, where do I belong? And it's all for the love of a dear little girl. All for the love that's at your heart in a world. I'm a man who'd give his life and the joys of this world all for the love of a girl. Set your heart in a whirl. I'm a man who'd give his life and the joys of this world
For those of you that don't know, that was Elton Britt. Elton Britt was a singer back in the 30s and 40s, did a few pretty good songs, and that's one of my favorites of his, but it's hard to find a good clean copy of that. I've got a good one that I recorded back in probably 77. Yeah, no, probably 78 or 79. And I'll have to dig it up. I've got it. I actually had it new on 8-track tape. And then I put the, I recorded it over to a cassette as 8-tracks were starting to go out. And I've still got it. I just have to hunt it down somewhere. I have no idea where it's at. Well, actually, I do have an idea. I was just thinking where that box is. So I might be able to get that for you. It's a good song, and that was back when people were really proud to be in the military and proud to by knowing that they were going to go fight, and now they're knowing that they're going to get an education, and you know they didn't sign up for that, but those people would lie and get in, you know, when they were 14, 15 years old, knowing good and well that they were going to go over there and face the bayonets of the Germans in the trenches. And we just haven't got a hell of a lot of people anymore that make the muster there for that. You know, we've still got some, but not like we did back in the 40s. My wife being the absolutely awesome individual that she is. And she is. You know, she makes a thing, what does she call it? A banana bran muffin. And as far as sweets go, or cakes and cupcakes and that kind of thing, it's very low in carbs compared to the average, you know, little cakes and stuff. It's delicious. And she just made some and brought me two of them warm right out of the oven and a cold glass of milk with it. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to have to excuse myself. I'm going to play a song and I'm going to love it. I'll be back.
Somewhere there should be, for all the world to see, a statue of a fool made of stone. An image of a man who let love slip through his hands and then just let him stand there all alone. And there on his face a gold tear should be placed to honor the million tears he's cried. And the hurt in his eyes would show, so everyone would know, concealed is a broken heart inside. So build a statue and oh, build it high, so
this is me.
Lord, it's been a long, long time. I know this ain't no social call, so go ahead, get it off your mind.
You heard what? Well, it ain't true.
I was here
that I was crying.
I haven't shed a tear in years, that I spoke
your name. Well, that's insane. I hardly noticed you're not here. That I showed your picture to some stranger. Don't you think I got no pride? They've been here at home, face down on a shelf. Lord, I bet somebody lied. But if they were true, what would it matter to you? Would it change? Would you be here tonight to help this old heart heal? Well, don't worry, it wasn't me, just someone whose world was torn in two. Someone who looks a lot like me and loves you. So forget the tears, I never cry. Lord, I bet somebody lied.
All right, we're getting kind of close here. I may run over just a little bit because I've got a few songs here I want to make sure I get out of the way. So don't just sign off and leave me at 10 o'clock. We may go over here a few minutes. But I want to say we're going to do a great Memorial Day show. And I hope that all of you can hang in here. That's going to be, what's the date on that? Let me check here. I think it's about the 22nd. Yeah, our last Friday of the Memorial Day weekend, that'll be the 22nd. And I might even, I don't know if we'll do a show Monday night on the actual Memorial Day. Actually, I probably will. And I may, when we get a little closer, I'll think about that a little bit. But I've got a good show lined up, and I'm not sure how, which day I want to do it on. So, but it'll definitely be one to catch if you can. You guys tell me whether you'd want to do it on Friday or Monday. And, we'll talk about it and see what we can work out. On the night of the 29th, I may have Edge of the Woods in here. Well, actually, I'm sure I will have Edge of the Woods in here with me. We may do an extra long show for you that night too. And, that ought to be a heck of a fun night. That's another guy there that's got a lot of knowledge about country music. Me and him's about two peas in a pod when it comes to, the kind of music that we do. So that'll be the 29th. We'll have a Memorial Day show probably on the 22nd. On the 15th, I will be in the field. I won't be able to do one on the 15th. I'll have a good, one of the older archives up for you on that day. And next week, on the 8th, we'll do a classic rock show. Not Twisted Sister ain't classic enough, Eddie. Sorry about that. But actually, that's not a bad song. I'm not going to play it with our mixture of what we're doing tonight. But if you listen to the words of that, it's not too bad of a song at all. Let's see. Yakima Glock, two separate issues with the two different Lone Wolf 3.5 pound connectors. One in a Gen 4 17 isn't going into battery. And a Gen 3 19 that sometimes would not reset the trigger. Put the same kind of my third generation. Okay, if it's not setting the trigger, Yakima Glock, take your, pull it out of there. You usually don't want to do it in the frame. You can, if you're careful, to do it in the trigger housing. But you just want to bend it out a little bit. You've got it bent in, and it's too flat. So listen, I'll try to, without sending you a picture of it or something, I'll try to explain this to you. You want that connector to be, whether it's 3.5 pound connector or what, doesn't make any difference. About the minimum that you can bend it in for a better trigger is where, if you're looking at it from the rear, that an absolute minimum of half of it can be split sideways. You know what I mean? If you're looking at it from the very rear, if you push it all the way in, you can't see it at all. If you're past halfway, trigger's not going to reset properly. If you bend that connector out just a little bit where at least half of the connector is showing. Now, I say at least half because depending on the gun, Glock's built with pretty loose tolerances in there, so you've got a little bit of play one way or the other. You'll have to experiment with it. So bend it out. Start when you can see half of it sticking out sideways. I mean, like splitting it. You know, you understand what I'm trying to tell you? And if that doesn't do it reliably, bend it out just a little bit more, and that will reset the trigger. Your other issue with it not going into battery, I have never had a problem with Lone Wolf connectors. They've been great. Matter of fact, Lone Wolf and Glock are the only ones that I'll use. I don't like, what's that one that's so popular? I don't like the Shearer connectors. They're okay. There's another one. It's popular, and I can't think of what it is. Whatever it is, I don't care for them. They're spongy, as far as I'm concerned. But Lone Wolf has always been a great product. I've used hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of those things. You know, we've probably Jason and I did probably close to, I'm going to say we've probably done close to 5,000 trigger jobs on Glocks. We did with our grip reductions and all of that. We've modified the grips of over 2,600 guns. And there were very, very few, of those that did not have trigger work done on them also while we had them. And the... And then we had hundreds of them come in as that wanted, you know, strictly trigger work or, you know, have the trigger done in sights or something like that. And we can make a pretty damn nice trigger on a Glock. My 34 is about 2.75 pounds. And yeah, that thing has such a nice trigger. And actually the best trigger that I have, it's not quite that light, but it's very crisp, very, very nice for a Glock. And that's on my 10 millimeter, on my Glock 20. Man, it has an amazing trigger on it. So if you can't figure that out, Yakima, let me know, and I'll see if I can get you a picture to send you. And you just want to make sure. And you know, in the first place, what you can do is just bend it out a little bit and try it and see if that does it. Even if you don't understand what I'm saying exactly, once you bend it out, I think you'll figure out what it is. So, and now I don't know if he can hear me. He says he lost sound. So, I still want to get a couple of more songs out before we're done. Probably three of them. And this is one of them. We're going to run over a little.
Oh, my heart skips a beat when we walk down the street. I feel a trembling in my knees. And just to know you're mine until the end of time makes my heart skip a beat. Well, I did a double take the day I met you. My heart turned to flip as I stood next to you. Get you, for you are my every dream come true, and my heart
skips a beat when we walk down the street. I feel a trembling in my knees. And just to know you're mine until the end of time makes my heart skip a beat. Dream come true, and my heart skips a beat when we walk down the street. I feel a trembling in my knees, and just to know you're mine until the end of time makes my heart skip a beat. Don't even care anymore.
way of life, and I hope you know that it comes with a price. I just came back from a place where they hated me and everything I stand for, a land where our brothers are dying for others who don't even care. Chances are I never will be the same. I really don't know anymore. I just came back from a war. I just came back from a war. I just came back from a war.
Alright, we're getting pretty close here. I want to do one more, and we're going to close out with this next one. And before I close out, I always check my chat room, make sure, see if there's anything I need to address. And we'll do that right after this one here, and then we're going to get on out of here. I'm such a big fan of Johnny Horton, and somebody mentioned it tonight, so we've played two or three of them. He's got dozens of them. He is a great entertainer. And this one here has been always probably my favorite, or certainly amongst the top three. It's kind of hard to choose because he has so many good songs. But this is definitely one of them, beyond a doubt. If we can get it to play, would really be great. Okay, I'll play your silly game. What's the problem here? Why are we experiencing difficulties? Tell you what, let's pause that just a minute and let it rest a little bit. And we'll try this one more time. All right, let's check it out. There it goes.
The snowflakes fall as winter comes, and time just seems to fly. Is it the...
Oh, stop. And sure enough, it did. Well, maybe we're not going to do this one. I thought we'd sleep one more. And it must be YouTube's fault.
That makes me want to cry. My heart is sad.
All right. Well, we're not going to do that, and I'm not going to hook my other player back up here. I've got some other stuff that I play externally. But I thought we could sneak that one in there. Couldn't make it. Well, anyway, one thing that's always a constant and always sure of here on Liberty Lounge, this has been the first three-hour Liberty Lounge we've ever done. Probably won't be the last, though, because it was kind of fun. I enjoyed that. So what will one of the things that's constant here is the fact that we all have fun. I know it gets to be late out there on, this is one reason I like to do these on, on a Friday night, and I like to do them starting at 8 instead of 9, because I know it's awful late out there on the East Coast. But we always have a lot of fun, always a lot of good conversation. Never one time, not a single time have we had, not only just on Liberty Lounge, but since the Survival Circle Network started, I don't believe that we've had any fighting or carrying on here, that we've had to ban anybody or anything like that. I don't believe that there is anybody on our banned list right now. And another thing is we have, as far as language goes, I've had to warn a couple of people, and they were polite and took it nicely and didn't have any problem with it. So, and I'm proud of that fact. This is, it's just been great on this network since we've started it. So I'm going to sneak on out of here, and I see a bunch of you guys are disappearing. So we're going to play this to close out with, and we'll see you all Monday. I hope you have a marvelous weekend, and thank the heck out of you for joining me.
It seems that you've changed in these past few days. Oh, when I try.
Okay, that about wraps it up for another edition of Liberty Lounge on this Friday evening. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. Be sure and join me again Monday morning for Amy's show, Living Way Out Here, at 8 o'clock Pacific Time, and The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. Remember that your life is a gift from God. How you spend it is your gift to Him. Good night.
And it's all over, but the crying. I called you on the phone just to find out what was wrong. And the things you said made my suspicions real. You said tonight again, you have to stay with this sick friend. But that story I'm not buying, 'cause it's all over but the crying. It's all over but the crying. I never would have thought you were lying. It sounded so true when you said I love you. Now I'll say my goodbye. It's all over but the crying. It's all